wrong I was in signing that damned treaty. Did nothing more than hold it off. We had little choice. We had every choice. Brunner came back, again loudly, as he clearly grew more and more agitated. I should have put me axe right through the skull of that stinking Obuld and been done with it. And Mithril Hall. Aye, but we should have stood strong. The other kingdoms refused to help, Drizzt reminded. Stood strong, Brunner shouted and stamped his boot again. And they'd have come in, don't ye doubt. And we'd have been done with Obuld and his ugly orcs then and there. With thousands killed on both sides. No shame in dying when you're killing orcs. The door pushed open and Regis and Wolfgar rushed in, looking around as if expecting to find a fight in progress. You took a chance, Drizzt said, and he tried to calm his voice, though mostly unsuccessfully. One that might reshape the relationship of the races to the orcs throughout the realms if the peace holds. Maybe I ain't wanting that. You would prefer war? Drizzt asked. He looked to Catti Bree for support, and was surprised by her stern expression, directed at him, not Brunner. King Obuld offered us a different way, Drizzt pushed on anyway. We could not defeat him, not alone, perhaps not even if all the kingdoms of the Silver Marches had joined in with our cause, which they would not. The peace has held there by all accounts. I've been there, Brunner muttered. Not so peaceful. But not war either, said Drizzt. How many have been born, or have lived out their lives peacefully, who otherwise would have known only misery and death under the trample of armies? And how many now will know the stamp of them boots, because we didn't put Obuld back in his hole 100 years ago? Brunner shot right back. It was never going to be an easy road to a lasting peace, said Drizzt, but it was worth the chance. No, Catti Bree cried. Both the drow and the dwarf stared incredulously at the usually gentle woman. No, Catti Bree said again, quieter now, but no less insistently. She shook her head to accentuate the point and declared, it was no more than a fool's game, a false hope against harsh reality. You were there, Drizzt reminded. On the podium in Garum's Gorge beside the rest of us as Brunner signed. I wished to go out and hunt Obuld with you and Brunner and Regis, Catti Bree replied. To kill him, and not to break bread. But in the end, you came to agree with the intent and terms of the treaty. And I was wrong, came her simple admission. You, my love, were wrong most of all. The room held silent for a long while after that, the others mulling over the surprising reversal and accusation from the woman. Drizzt stared at her hard, as if she had just shot an arrow through his heart and soul. But she didn't back down an inch.
It seems that I missed eventful times, said Wolfgar, who had left his friends and Mithril Hall before the advent of the Treaty of Garum's Gorge, never to return. He gave a little laugh, trying to break the tension clearly, and just as clearly, he failed.
I advised Brunner as I thought best, Drizzt said quietly.
It was a good plan,
said Regis, but no one seemed to notice.
Ye could no have bringed me to sign the derned paper if me heart didn't agree with ye, Brunner said.
Bad advice is often given from a place of good intent, Catti Bree remarked.
Did you drag us back to the world of the living so that you could play out some unexpected anger over a decision made a century ago?
Regis demanded, and this time he commanded center stage, stepping out in front of Brunner to boldly confront the woman. Catti Bree looked at him, her expression showing surprise for just a moment, before a smile widened on her pretty face.
It was a mistake, and a grand one, she said. We all need to know that now, I believe. for the choices we will find before us will likely prove no less momentous than those we made before.
Those we made wrongly, ye mean?
Said a clearly agitated Brunner.
Aye. Catti Bree agreed without the slightest hesitation, and again, without the slightest caveat against her assertion to be found in her tone, her expression, or her posture.
Ye seem awful sure of yourself, girl,
Brunner warned.
They are orcs, she replied, her tone deathly even and unforgiving. We should have killed them, every one.
They're women too, then?
Drizzt asked.
Where's the baby's room?
Catti Bree replied in her best dwarf voice as she echoed the merciless battle cry usually reserved by the bearded folk for when they broke through the defenses of a fortress of goblin kin or evil giant kind. It was an old joke among the dwarves more than anything else, a reason to smash their mugs together in bawdy toast. But when Catti Bree spoke it then, it seemed to the other four as if she was as serious as death itself. Drizzt visibly winced at the proclamation.
And you would take the blade? He started to ask. Yes, she said.
And the other four shuddered a bit as the cold wind of sheer indifference blew through them. Drizzt couldn't tear his incredulous stare from the woman standing before him. Suddenly so tall and beautiful and terrible all at once in her white gown and black shawl. He felt Regis staring up at him from the side, but couldn't manage to glance back at the halfling, and knew that he had nothing to offer that likely plaintive expression anyway. For none in that room were more confused at that moment than Drizzt himself.
What is this about?
Regis quietly asked him.
The burden you carry blurs your judgment,
Catti Bree said to Drizzt.
As you see yourself, you hope to find in others, in orcs and goblins even.
She shook her head.
But that cannot be, with only very rare exception.
Ye've become very sure of yourself, girl,
Brunner warned. Behind him, Wulfgar laughed, and that surprising interjection turned them all around to consider him.
Mieliki told her this,
he explained, and he nodded to Catti Bree, turning them all back to face the woman, who still did not blink, and indeed, even nodded her agreement.